Jim and Martha are a part of this church family. They are apostolic missionaries. They've done work in Mexico, Spain, and more recently they've been working in Nicaragua, doing a lot of ministry to pastors and planting Bible schools. And I've just so appreciated Jim and his family. They're wonderful people. And I know he's going to bring a word that will be encouraging to you today. So let's welcome Jim Towner.
Hello, Jubilee.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. It's been a while since I've been here, been out of the country, and my wife hasn't been here either because she had gallbladder surgery shortly after I left for Nicaragua, and I asked if I should come back, take the next plane, and my daughter's said, no, 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 and she's being well taken care of. That wife of mine, she is a soul winner, even when she's drugged up. The nurse came out. She was still in the recovery, and the nurse came and talked to my daughter in the hospital, and she said, that mother of yours, she was witnessing to the doctors and the nurses. they give her medication so that she forgets all that, so she doesn't remember. But I said, that's my wife. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. I just left Nicaragua, got yesterday, or actually afternoon, day before, and arrived yesterday in the very early morning hours. I left Nicaragua 90 degrees, and I got here to Minnesota minus 25. Couldn't you have been done with winter before I got back? And then I had to, a few hours after I arrived, I had to preach at a funeral, and we had tropical dress clothes, and the church was cold. I about froze. I'm a happy man. And it's not just because of my bright and shining personality, let me tell you. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing of God. I have learned a few things along the road in these 40 years of serving the Lord in difficult places, ministering to drug addicts and drunks and mentally ill people and prisoners and people who would, you know, want to do you, you know, in the back. And all the time, for many years, I struggled with my own issues. And I learned something. I learned how to unstop this well of living water is supposed to flow up within us and bring us joy. And I learned that you can have joy in difficulties. I just came back from 3 weeks in Nicaragua. It's our fourth trip or fifth trip that we've done, and I think we're going to be able to go back once every month and a half now. After many, many years of pioneer church planting, our ministry consists now of training leaders. And Nicaragua has a lot of Christians, a lot of churches. What it lacks is teaching. What it lacks is teaching. And there are a lot of rural pastors who have very little training. And the Lord has put that on our hearts to bless Nicaragua at a time when Nicaragua has been going through very, very difficult months of social unrest. And I was not able to go back for many months. And I went in October, and we've been able to come back again for 3 weeks this time. But Nicaragua, one of the poorest countries, it's just above Haiti, one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. And then it had this social social unrest. I'm not going to call it a revolution, but it's from what it was before, one of the safest countries in Latin America. One of the safest countries in Latin America. It's not like that anymore. And it has risen about 30% of what it was before. 30%. The killing, the hundreds of people killed, that's not happening publicly or on the streets anymore like it was. But there is a sense of threat and intimidation. This sign was painted by the government forces on the wall of one of our main church a few days before I got there, and it just says be careful of criticizing the government, and you will have lethal consequences if you do that. I'm gonna see if this thing works here. Yeah, it does. And there are police over. There's the police were arrested some young people. Who knows what they were doing? But the presence is all over, and people have to be very, very careful. But we have determined that it is safe enough for us to regain the momentum of establishing these Bible institutes around the country that we started months and months ago. And I am extremely excited about that. I preached just across the street from this house, which was burned down, and a whole family was murdered by the government forces there and burned. I won't go into the details, but it was horrific. There I am in the church across the street where I preached, and you see in the across the street this reminder. This is one of our main churches. You see the plywood is still on the wall of the windows to guard against bullets. And here's a glue-sniffing kid. What's difficult now, even though there's a relative superficial peace, is the economy was devastated, and there's a lot of unemployment now and a lot of hopelessness. And but there are tremendously exciting things happening in this country. I preached in many churches. I brought, the Lord gave me a message of joy, of joy, of joy, happy God, generous, happy God. Actually, that's what I want to talk about this morning to you. And ministered to pastors, encouraged them. When I was so excited that I was able to start another Bible Institute, and then last night I on the phone to actually some people in Panama and some people in Nicaragua, we're going to start our second one actually before I even get back to Nicaragua. I'm very, very excited about that. Actually, not the second Bible, the next Bible Institute, because we have several now. Look at this man. He's a pastor up in the hills, walked 3 hours with his wife up and down mountains, paths, to get to our Bible Institute that we're starting there. Tremendous hunger, tremendous hunger. Look how quality this is. This is the guy in the middle is our pastor. His name is Octavio, which means eight. And he said, "Pastor, we've tried seven times to start a Bible Institute here. You're the eighth time. We believe this is going to be it." And so the man on the beside him is our new colleague we formed a new staff. It fell apart because of all this unrest. I am extremely excited and hopeful. And he's going to actually start the next one in later this month before I even get back. And there he's preaching. And the second, besides starting Bible Institutes, I prayed. I'm a missionary. I can't stop being a missionary. Can't stop being a missionary. It oozes out of me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I prayed a couple of years, 2-3 years ago, "Lord, I want to be involved in helping raise up this missions movement among Latin Americans." I want to be involved in that. Lord, help me. And so on this trip, toward a missional church, you see that sign in the back? And I was invited to go on a way up in the mountains all over northern Nicaragua to motivate people, churches and pastors in this growing missions movement. And it was tremendous because I was a big shot. I was a celebrity. After so many years of Spain, where we lived in Spain for many, many years, our six kids in Spain, where Americans were not liked very well, I'll tell you, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth. In people like me, and I was an eminent missionary 40 years. So the Lord just gave me a word and a credibility, which I really got a kick out of. Hallelujah! And so one of the things that's happening, the Assemblies of God down there, which is the biggest denomination in the country, some of their new Nicaraguan missionaries who are going to Spain, which we love, asked us to help them. And this man with the microphone, he is the husband of this couple who are going this year to Spain. And this movement have mobilized missions mobilizers regionally and in each church. There are hundreds and thousands of churches. And most of these mobilizers are teenagers. Teenagers. Hallelujah. Huh. You know, 70% of the missions force of missionaries in the world is over 50. Do you think something needs to happen? And what is happening? Now, there's about 100 and some thousand Western missionaries, my color, in the world. Nowadays, there are many more. There's well over 200,000 missionaries from Africa, from Latin America, from India. A missionary is one who goes and crosses a cultural barrier to preach the gospel. And usually, very often, to stay there. So that is happening all over the place. And I was just so delighted to be a part of this. These are Nicaraguan. These are the poorest. This is one of the poorest countries in the world. They have 20 missionaries, families in India and Pakistan, other places. El Salvador has 120 or 180 or something like that. And so there's a rising missions movement. I just was so thrilled. And so I had a chance to... This is very intense. That's my last slide here. Okay, so don't expect more. Look at Romans chapter 15. Wonderful chapter. It's the one that in the Bible that talks about Spain, where we were for 23 years, raised our six children there, a country where this Nicaraguan couple is going this year. My wife and I plan a trip to visit some of the churches we started this year. We plan to go back to Spain to visit some of those churches, and we expect to encourage this young missionary couple. You know, as we get older, we have lots of kids, spiritual kids. And this young couple is kind of like our kids. They said, "Will you mentor us?" Yeah, I will. We will do that. Hallelujah. As we were going up into the mountains at very dangerous roads, we drove all night to get to this place way, 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 way up in the mountains. Extremely dangerous roads. Going up over a hill, brow of a hill, in the middle of the night, no lights, and suddenly half the road is gone. And so their habit is just to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. So all the time they're playing worship music. Now, I will tell you, my language, my heart language for worship, I mean, for worship music is not English, it's Spanish. So, oh boy, that was so bad. I saw angels. I said, just the visions of angels. And we were protected from dangers. And just the sweet, sweet presence of Jesus. When we got to our destination place, no electricity, no water until hopefully the next day. This lady named Giovanna hosted us, very, very poor and happy. Oh, laughing, So happy. Hospitality gift. And so she has a little stall of sells some clothes in the marketplace. And she came back and she said, guess what? Laughing. Guess what? Expect the lady to come here in a little while. Because I went to the market. I was laughing. I was happy. And just laughing and happy to sell my stuff there. And this lady was watching me. This lady was watching me. And she came up to me and said, why are you so happy? And she said, I got missionaries in my house. I got missionaries in my house. I got missionaries in my house. Would they pray for us? We'll pray for you. Come on over. So this lady came over and she got the joy of the Lord, an infusion of the joy of the Lord in her soul. She reconciled to God. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord. We know it's our strength. But Paul says in Romans 15, in verse 27, 28 and 29. This is a wonderful, I love this because the context is missions, Going into the regions beyond where the gospel's been preached and preaching the gospel. And it's the chapter where Paul says, on my way to Spain, where, by the way, there's still thousands of towns in Spain that have zero evangelical born-again believer in them. Zero. And it's a great need. But Paul says, I'm going to go to Spain. This was 2,000 years ago. And he says, I'm coming and to you, and I'm on my way, and I'm going to expect you to help me on my way with, this is how we, in this Latin culture, in other words, offering, a missionary offering. I'm going to expect you to help. That's what Paul says. And then Paul says, and I'm going to expect you to support me in prayer, prayer and giving and prayer in praying. And then he says this wonderful, 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 wonderful statement. I'll read 28 and 29. It's in 29, I'll look, but what I want to point out. Therefore, it says, 28, when I have finished this, he's doing some other things on his way, and I put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. And I know, listen to this, and I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. When I come to you, I know. He says, I guess. He doesn't say, I hope. He says, I know that when I come to you, I will come really, really blessed. I will be a blessed man. I will be filled with the blessing of God. And guess what he's going to do with that blessing? He's going to transmit it. It's going to just come out of him naturally. Now, I want to tell you, he's talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. A soul that is on fire with love and passion for Jesus Christ. A soul that doesn't need a lot of methodologies, a lot of methods to witness, to evangelize. Because the mighty filling, the mighty overflowing presence of the Lord Jesus is just contagious, like that woman. He doesn't say, I hope when I come to you. He says, I know. What has happened to the Apostle Paul that he can say, I know, I carry this sweet perfume around with me, and that's the presence of God. You want some of it? Yeah. Yeah. You want some of the joy of the Lord in your soul today? You want the filling of the Holy Spirit? How many of you want the filling of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. You know, I love studying the Word of God and the original words in the original language and see how they chalk up with what the words mean today in English or Spanish. And, you know, grace, Oh, grace. It's the kindness, the goodness of God. Grace, charis, and kara is joy. Grace and joy are just related. Charisma is gift. So you have a happy, generous, kind God that we have to deal with. Happy, generous, and kind. Do you want to be filled up with that kind of God? So filled up that you just go to work, people say, what's wrong with you? Whatever's wrong with you, I want that. I'm telling you, you don't need a lot of methodologies. How can we do this? How can we just get filled up with the presence of Jesus Christ? Everything else will come. Cross your arms like this, please. Everyone's arms are crossed. How many of you can sense that you can't, if your arms are crossed, you can't reach out and grab and take something? Do you believe that? Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of us have our arms crossed when it comes to dealing with the things of God. The things God wants to give us. The happy, generous, kind God who wants to fill us up with blessing. Blessing for us and blessing for others. Your arms are still crossed, right? Yeah, cross them. Now, there are two original Greek words that are used all over in the New Testament that refer to how we're supposed to access things that God is giving us. And none of them have to do with crossed arms. There are two of them. One is reaching out and taking what is offered. Out of reach out and take. Reach out and take. Come on. Reach out and take. Now, what you're taking is what's being almighty, generous, kind, happy God is offering to you. Are you going to? If he wants to give it to me, he'll give it to me. Are you going to react like that? Are you going to react like that? Be passive about it. I mean, can't get too happy. Wait a minute. I want everything God has for me. So, that's the first one. Whatever God has says you can have, reach out in faith and take it. Reach out in faith and take it. Just rebuke that crossed arm theology. Because that just does not, that's not in the Bible anywhere. Oh, I will accept it. No, I will take it. That's why I don't like accept Christ. Because that's not, if he wants to save me, he'll save me. No, you got to take it. And the second word, which is used all over also, of the two words that describe how we're supposed to access the things God wants to give us. The first one is take. And take is active, right? Take is active. It's nothing passive about that. The second is welcome. Welcome. Like when the people of Samaria received the word of God, they welcomed. Receiving the Holy Spirit is take the Holy Spirit. Receiving, but also this welcoming. Now, this has to be understood in the other cultures that, like the African cultures, the Asian cultures, Latin American cultures, when someone comes to your door, even if you're the poorest on the block, you receive them and you give them the best you can. That's hospitality. That's the word being used when it says receiving the things of God. Receive them happy. Receive them. Don't let it stand out there on the door. Don't do that. Receive it. Come in. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad the missionaries. I'm so glad Jesus has come. I'm so glad the word of God has come. I'm so glad the gifts of the Lord have been offered to me, and I take them, I receive them into my life. One more thing I want to say. This thing about presence of God. We sang, my sweet daughter, where are you? She sang this along with that Laura's my daughter. She's, you know, I'm so proud of her. I can be proud of her, right? But that word, that presence of the Lord, presence of the Lord, presence of, you know what presence, maybe you didn't know this, but in the Old Testament, there are two words. Sometimes they're translated one way. I mean, there's one word, sometimes translated one way, sometimes translated another way. It's that word that sometimes is translated presence, and sometimes is translated face. Single word, face, present, the face of God. What do you think, what kind of expression is on the face of this happy, kind, generous God who's looking at you? What kind of expression is on his face? He's looking at you. And we got to look at him. Look, gaze on Jesus. Focus your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. But, you know, this, you didn't, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Think of the way the Hebrews would have read that. As we gaze on, you know, they couldn't see God, but they meditated on the kindness, the goodness of this happy, kind, generous God of grace. And they gazed on his presence. They gazed on his face. They gazed on that look. That look of forgiveness. Of, come on. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come on. I want to fill your life up. I want you to be filled with my grace and blessing. You know, and so then you have this, what's the benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face, look at his eyes. What's coming out of Jesus' eyes? What's coming out of his eyes? It's that tremendous love of God. Presence and face are the same word in the Hebrew language. There's no difference. And it says, may he lift up his face, his presence, his face, his presence on you. I'll tell you, when Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. That is for you. One more verse here. And I want to ask you to respond to this. In the same chapter, in verse 13, we have another blessing, benediction. And it says, now may the God of hope, the God of what? God of what? How many of us need hope today? You need hope? How many of you need hope? Well, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. Because this generous, kind, happy God is the God of hope. He offers a way out. He offers change. Doesn't matter if you can't do it. Of course you can't do it. But he's going to help you. Huh? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And believing, you got to believe this here, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what are the two ways we're going to respond to this now? One is, wait a minute, how come I still see some crossed arms here? Yeah, you're going to take this. You're going to take it in faith. You're going to take this. You can't take what God hasn't given you. That doesn't work. But he's given us this. Fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the first one is take. And the second one is yes, yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's not, this isn't Minnesota nice. Now, you Africans know what I'm talking about. Yeah? In your countries and many other countries, when someone comes to your door, I mean, yes, come in, happy. Right? Right? Is that true or not? That's true. Nothing against Minnesota nice. But we're not talking about Minnesota nice. We're talking about welcoming, taking and welcoming the fullness of this, the blessing of this kind, generous, happy God of hope and peace. I think some of us are maybe half full. Some of us need to repent of. Some of us aren't full at all. We're empty. Because you don't even have Jesus in your life yet. Guess what? Today's your day. Today's your lucky day. Because Jesus wants to come into your life and forgive you and change you. He's not a sad, angry God. He's not that. He's a happy, generous, kind God who wants to bless you, wants to change your life. Yeah? Not talking about things complicated. Talking about reaching out and taking. Welcoming. Say, this is for me. Doesn't matter who you are today. I'm challenging you to respond in the Bible way to the blessing God wants to bring in your life. Fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you can't be full of the Holy Spirit if you don't know Jesus Christ. So accept Jesus. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Open up your heart to Him. Receive this grace and forgiveness. I'm going to ask the pastor to come forward. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Maybe some of you want to come forward and, you know, I'll tell you, a full person full of the Holy Spirit of God just can't hide it. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. Oh, Jesus, how are we going to do this, Pastor?
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to ask Jim to pray that over us as a church body, that we would all be so full of the joy of the Lord that this week, wherever we go, that joy will come out. If you want to come to the front, you're welcome, or right where you're at, either way is fine. But I want him to just pray over us as a church family, that what he brought forth is what we will experience. And as he's praying, do what he said. Reach out and take it by faith and welcome whatever God wants to do. And let's just believe that we're going to get filled up before we leave. And then all week, we're just going to let it flow out of us. So if you want to come, come. If you want to just stay right there, whatever you... yeah. Amen.
Don't be shy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Raise that hand. No crossed arms here now. Raise up that hand to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Holy Spirit of God. Pour out your presence. Pour out your kind face. Look upon us today. Gaze upon these people whom you love. Receive now. Say, yes, it's for me. I take this out of your reached out hand. You're reaching out to me. You'll take care of all the problems, which I don't understand. But I receive the blessing. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Take it. Receive it right now by faith. Say, it's mine. It's mine. He's giving it to me now. He's giving it to me now. Blessing of God be poured about on Jubilee Church in Jesus' name. Let this be an amazing day of blessing flowing on this church. I pray for it. I declare it. This is the word of God in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be blessed. Receive the fullness of the grace of God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face, his presence of joy and of love, of generosity, just fill you. Hallelujah. May he lift up his face upon you and smile, and may he grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to call the prayer teams up as well, and Jim will probably be available for some prayer too. So we won't have any official closing beyond this, but we'll just come down and pray for whoever wants prayer, and you're welcome to stay and seek the Lord, or if you're ready to go, you can go whenever you want. But Jim, thank you so much for bringing that good word, that encouraging word to us. That was just a good word. And some of you didn't know that God's a happy God, so you know that now. God is a happy God.